organizations like One Colorado Education Fund and its commitment to ending discrimination and violence against transgender Coloradoans.
Stand by for outsources.
Good evening and welcome to Outsources, KGNU's primetime LGBTQ-themed show where we get to talk about issues of importance to the queer community. I'm Janice Bohan, a member of the Outsources Collective, and your host for this evening. I'm joined in the studio by Glenda Russell, a frequent contributor to Outsources. Our guests tonight are Taylor Stein, the program specialist in charge of Boulder Valley School District at OASIS program sponsored by Boulder County Public Health, and Lily Stevens, a sophomore at Boulder High and a participant in OASIS. We'll meet them and say more about them in a few minutes. I want to introduce tonight's show by taking a quick detour back a week to our New Year's Day show, when members of the collective shared our thoughts about the past year and the year ahead. Much of what we talked about last week, particularly what we talked about in detail, had to do with the difficulties we faced as a community in the past year. Progress blocked, gains lost, and fears for the future. In that program, we also mentioned, if only briefly, the importance of keeping an eye on the positive things that have been happening, the reliance and creativity and the community building that are ongoing in our community and that were, if anything, inspired and enlivened by the difficult political atmosphere. Tonight, we want to focus on that stuff.
We hope to highlight a few points with the show. First, one of the best tools of resilience and resistance is putting energy into building our own community. It makes us stronger and healthier, and it protects us from obsessively granting all of our time and energy to the people and events that would do us harm. Second, community building is what moves us forward, small step by small step, toward our ultimate goals. It's what sustains and buttresses us when we face attacks, and it nourishes and upholds us when we're moving forward. Third, it feels good, for a change. That doesn't mean we don't pay attention to the bad stuff. We have to if we're going to be effective in resisting it. But we also get to notice and participate in and enjoy the enlivening positive stuff. Stories are more informative oftentimes than lectures, so we want to give you an idea of what this looks like on the ground. We'll start with a handful of stories from elsewhere, and then we'll focus on a very local one as we talk with our guests. When the regular news is getting you down, give yourself a break by reading stories like these instead of another dirge about the demise of life as we've come to know it. So, consider these headlines.
Half of 8th grade class from New Jersey refuses to pose with Speaker Ryan. A group of middle school students from New Jersey caused quite a flap after half of them refused to take a picture with Republican House Speaker Paul Ryan during a field trip to Washington. "It's not just a picture," said Matthew, one of the students. "It didn't matter that Paul Ryan is the Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives or that he's third in line to the presidency. It's being associated," Matthew said, "with a person who puts his party before his country."
Or try this one on. Outrage over Trump turned a red state Republican into a resistance leader. Resistance against Donald Trump's presidency has come from unexpected places, with many overnight activists joining their first protest or making their first call to Congress. But one of the most surprising transformations is that of Beverly Tuberville, who prior to Trump's nomination was a lifelong Republican. Tuberville, who calls herself a, quote, recovering Republican, organized a town hall in March with more than 1,000 energized Oklahoma residents demanding accountability from their senators, who declined to attend, by the way. They recruited state-elected officials and advocates to advise them on what's going on in their corner of the red state resistance, and they founded Indivisible Oklahoma.
Or this. L.A. Pride Parade morphs into hashtag resist march as tens of thousands hit the streets. A gay couple wore red shirts with white letters emblazoned with the maxim, "Make America Gay Again," a riff on President Trump's campaign slogan. The Pasadena couple were among thousands of people who filled the streets of Hollywood and West Hollywood to participate in a human rights march that this year replaced the historic L.A. Pride Parade. The Resist March, a spokesperson said, was inspired by the massive women's marches that took place the day after Trump's inauguration. People felt the need to make a statement that, quote, we will resist being driven back into the closet by regressive policies.
And here's an interesting hit from a bit of research, which shows that the anti-Trump resistance is diverse, educated, and many are new to activism. The election of Trump has been a veritable shot in the arm in democracy in America. People are no longer bowling alone. They are marching and yelling together. What's more, new research suggests these large-scale events are part of a broader progressive movement, which the New York Times and others have referred to as the resistance. A third of the participants at the Women's March reported never having participated in a protest before, and these newcomers have become repeat protesters. Respondents reported being motivated to participate by multiple pressing issues, including women's rights, the environment, reproductive rights, racial justice, immigration, and LGBTQ issues.
And this one. After Charlottesville, a surge in anti-racism rallies across the country. More than 700 rallies were held in the days following the violence in Charlottesville, Virginia. From California to New York to Atlanta to Ohio and Arkansas and countless other states, Americans took their anger and fear into the streets, led by a coalition of organizations including the Working Families Party, the Women's March, Black Lives Matter, Indivisible Democracy for America, Resist Here, Move On, Progressive Change Campaign Committee, A Million Hoodies, and many others in condemning the white supremacist-fueled violence.
And here's another. Georgetown law faculty take a knee to protest Jeff Sessions' campus visit. Faculty members at the prestigious law school took a knee Tuesday morning in the dissent of a visit by Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who was on campus to, quote, give remarks about free speech. An open letter published ahead of the event, signed by around a third of the law school's faculty, said in part, we, the undersigned, condemn the hypocrisy of Attorney General Sessions speaking about free speech. Sessions is a key cabinet member in an administration headed by a president who spent last weekend denouncing athletes engaging in free expression and calling for them to be fired.
And finally, a place for us to skate. Unity is a queer skate collective in Oakland, California, that brings together LGBTQ and gender nonconforming people who want to reclaim skateboarding. The group is a brainchild of a multidisciplinary artist from the East Bay. The idea for a skater's safe space came to him at the end of 2016, when he was simultaneously reeling from the election and grieving the death of a close friend. I had a really dark end of the year, he said. It made me want to do something positive. Unity was founded on January 1, 2017, and it now hosts monthly skate gatherings in the Bay Area that draw as many as 50 people per session.
Now that's building culture. We'll post links to these and some other stories, including a few that have their own lists of things to celebrate, on the KGNU blog at news.kgnu.org/outsources. So now we'd like to bring this back to the studio, where we're sitting with two people who are responding to these challenging times by creating positive queer culture right here. We invited them to join us this evening so that they could help us bring this idea down to earth and closer to home. Our guests are Taylor Stein and Lily Stevens. Taylor is the program specialist in charge of Boulder Valley School District at the OASIS Open and Affirming Sexual Orientation and Gender Identity Support Program at Boulder County Health Public Health. Taylor has been working with LGBTQIA plus youth for 7 years, both in Seattle and Colorado. Having grown up in Lafayette, Taylor is passionate about the strides that Boulder County has and continues to make. Lily is a sophomore at Boulder High School. She's lived in Boulder for close to 6 years. As a first-year member of YAC, which is Youth Advocating for Change, a project of OASIS, Lily is finding the work rewarding so far and is looking forward to where it will go in the next few months.
So, let's start with you, Taylor, if we could. Some folks in our listening audience might not be familiar with OASIS. Can you tell us briefly about OASIS, what it is, what it does, where
Yes.
it came from?
Yes. Definitely. So OASIS, as Glenda said, is a program of Boulder County Public Health, standing for Open and Affirming Sexual Orientation and Gender Identity Supports. We support LGBTQIA plus young people under the age of 26 and their communities.
Could I interrupt you for just a second?
Yeah.
We talk a lot about LGBTQ here. Mm. Could you tell us about the other letters that you all have added to your acronym?
Yeah, so I stands for intersex, so that's anybody whose biological sex characteristics that they're born with fall outside of the boxes they're deemed male or female, and asexual, so anybody who doesn't experience sexual attraction or romantic attraction. So we like to make sure that our space is as inclusive as possible for these young people. So
the addition of plus sort of leaves open room in case there's something you've missed.
Exactly.
Got it.
And knowing that the acronym goes on and on. But that's why we tend to actually break our identities up more around sexual orientation and gender identity, because we're never going to be all-encompassing with an acronym. So our work mostly revolves around young people in the age of 12 to 18, but we do serve outside that age range as well. We do a lot of work in direct service, so we are most well-known for our youth groups in Boulder and one in Longmont in partnership with Out Boulder County, and then the YAC, the Youth Advocating for Change Leadership Project. We also, in addition, provide community trainings and consultations to companies as well as the school districts, and work on local policy as well as occasionally supporting state policy.
So do you get actually invited in to talk to policymaking groups who are interested in being alert and sensitive to issues of queer youth?
Sometimes. We don't do as much of the big state policy things as most people imagine, but working as a company, as a county entity, mm-hmm. we advise on county policies, and then also policies within companies and nonprofits, internal policies, and then particularly school district policies.
Mm-hmm.
We are co-chairs of both the Boulder Valley Safe Schools Coalition and the St. Frame Valley Safe School Coalition, where we have worked in partnership with the school district on policies that are more inclusive.
Excellent.
Lily, how did you get involved in OASIS? And then I want to ask you something about YAC in particular, but how did you get involved in OASIS initially?
Well, actually, I started through YAC. I hadn't heard of OASIS prior, but I heard of the opportunity of YAC through my school GSA.
And YAC is Youth Advocating for Change?
Yes.
And so you heard about it. Why were you interested?
Because I was interested in making a change. It was around that same time, like 2016, with all of that happening, and so I wanted to see a change in my community, and I got an opportunity, and going through all of the strides of interviews and everything else that it took, I managed to get in, and that's how I got here.
Great. And you wanted to make a change. What kind of changes were you hoping to make?
Well, I wanted to see more inclusive everything in schools, especially. I know friends, family members, everyone who's just not been regarded as the same as everyone else, and I wanted to see a change and make sure that everyone was regarded equally and you had ample opportunities to mm-hmm. shine in the school district.
Nice.
Did I understand correctly that you had interviews to become a member of YAC?
Yes. I filled out an application which had me write a little bit about myself and a little bit about issues that I had been seeing in my community and what I wanted to do about them. And once that went through, I had an interview with Taylor and other members of the YAC from the first year. And then I made it through that, and we went on a retreat where I met other members who had made it through the same process, and from there we've started working.
That's a serious interview process.
It is, yeah. Retreats are great, aren't they?
All the YAC members get paid, so it's a
really?
Very serious,
really?
Yeah, it's a commitment.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. It is a commitment. If you just joined us, you're listening to Outsources on KGNU. We're talking this evening about the importance of positive actions and community building in this complicated political atmosphere. Our guests this evening are Lily Stevens and Taylor Stein, both from OASIS.
Both from YAC.
And both representing YAC.
So what does YAC do?
YAC, which, like you said, is Youth Advocating for Change, which is a group of sexually and gender diverse, or SGD, youth in Boulder County, and we're a youth advocacy group working towards changing policies and making new policies in Boulder Valley School District and St. Vrain Valley School District in the general Boulder County area in order to be more inclusive of LGBTQIA plus students.
So could you give me some examples, either one of you, of some of the activities that you might do to influence policies around youth in the schools?
Well, we have a few plans that I'm not sure if we're allowed to Yeah.
Well, so it started off, it's a two-year project. The first year was the research year where they used a project or program called Youth Participatory Action Research.
Right.
And so the group of youth that were involved last year spent the whole year collecting their peers' information and data and interviews.
And did they collect data from all kinds of youth or from specialized kinds of youth?
So they were looking at high schools in particular, okay, in both school districts, and they collected information from SGD, so sexual and gender diverse youth, and non-SGD youth, as well as teachers, parents, and community organizations.
Wow.
So they used that research and they condensed it and turned it into this awesome zine that we have here in the studio, but you can definitely reach out to us and we'll share it with you, that has all that research in it. And then this year's YAC is taking that research and turning it into action. So they're halfway through the year, so they haven't quite fully enacted all their work, but so far they've met with several leaders in Boulder Valley School District and have a meeting set up with some in St. Vrain Valley School District to bring this research and ask for action.
Excellent.
So they arrive, the youth YAC members themselves arrive with the zine in hand and say, here's the research we've done, here's what we know, here are some thoughts about what we think you might do with this information.
Absolutely. And Lily can tell you a little bit more about that main goal that they're asking for.
Great.
Yeah. So we are looking for impacting, like I said, policies and the difference between policy versus practice in the schools, specifically revolving around transgender and non-binary identities, especially with bathrooms and inclusion in all activities such as sports, clubs, anything that could be gendered and shouldn't be. We're also looking for anti-bullying and trans-inclusive policies, making sure that everyone is included and no one is discriminated against.
Wow, that's huge.
Yeah. It is huge. I like the distinction between policy and practice. Mm-hmm. Getting policies signed off and put in the books is one thing, and then transferring that to actual practice is another task. And that, of course, is the responsibility of the school districts. And what you're doing is sort of holding their feet to the fire and saying, this isn't what we would hope. The research doesn't look as good as we would like for it to, and we'd like for you to put some energy into this.
Yeah, we're finding overwhelmingly that the school districts care, right? These are their students, and they care about it, but oftentimes cisgender, heterosexual people in power don't know what questions to be asking. Mm-hmm. So LGBT youth are the ones that know what questions to be asking to their peers. So they're bringing some fresh research and some fresh eyes.
I love that. It's great. Yeah. It's great. It's also a really nice assumption. I mean, to assume that they would do it right if they just knew how, and that their falling short isn't for a lack of caring. It's because they don't have the right information.
Exactly.
Which youth can get better than any adults could.
Exactly.
Especially cis, straight adults.
We talked at the beginning of this show about the importance of seeing things that are working well, the importance of seeing things that energize and build community. How does YAC fit that prescription?
Well, we're obviously, as a group of SGD, sexually and gender diverse students, and we're all very positive about our identities, about everyone in our communities who are out or not out, and anyone. We're just positive people, I guess. We're friendly, and we don't try to focus on the negative, I would say. We have, you know, our meetings, and we focus on what can we do and not, you know, what has to be done because this isn't working. It's more of what can we do because we want to make it work, and what can we do to help everyone, no matter what's been going on already. We want more, always more.
Mm-hmm. And what's it like working as a member of a community of people dedicated to this kind of social change? What does that feel like to you as an individual student involved?
Yeah, well, it's very empowering because, of course, you know, I've surrounded myself with people who aren't always, you know, the cis, whatever, straight people, and everyone, you know, I'm friendly with everyone, but it's a different kind of community when you're in a room with people who aren't only just, you know, maybe not straight, but also just empowered to make the same differences you want to make. It makes it a whole big difference because, sure, I can have conversations with all my friends of, oh, this is what I want to see happen, but when you're in a room of people who also have the same power as you to make that happen and to see that happen, it can definitely help encourage you more.
Mm-hmm. Especially that part about seeing it happen, mm-hmm. seeing that people are interested in the research you've done and they're yeah. interested in what your ideas are. That's yeah. wonderful.
Now, I have the impression that in addition to the work that you do specifically talking to people in the school, you'll also talk with people in the community. Is that accurate?
When it comes to the YAC?
Mm-hmm.
I'd say so. We haven't quite gotten that far, but we are looking for supporters. So we're in the early stages of some action. So if anybody is interested in getting involved, particularly other LGBT or allied students or LGBT or allied adults, you can reach out to us. We have a website, Boulder County Oasis, OASOS.org, or you can email me personally, TSTEIN at bouldercounty.org.
And we'll put that information yeah. on our site.
But more specifically, St. Vrain and Boulder Valley Safe Schools Coalitions are great places to get involved. They meet regularly once a month and are open to all levels of community members, and it's a real way to show up with force. And they're our main partners from the community in this endeavor. So look them up. They both have websites. They're really, really great ways to get involved in our community.
So people can find out about those activities through the website. They can also contact you directly.
Yes.
And you can give people some directions for some really interesting work, and they can be empowered too.
Yeah. Right. Before we move on to, we're running close to out of time already. Before we move on to your sort of final thoughts, Taylor, do you have any particular comments you would like to make about, like, the value of this the value of YAC and what it means in the community and to the broader queer community, heck, to the world, to have youth engaging in this kind of activity?
Yeah, absolutely. Of all the work we do at Oasis, I strongly believe the YAC is the best thing we're doing. We shouldn't be doing anything for young people, but instead working with young people. And not just in this level that a lot of people talk about of our future leaders, these are the people who are taking over, but more so that these are our leaders now. Young people like Lily are not just assets to the work that we're trying to do, but they can do work we can't. We've been knocking at the doors of the school districts. We've been talking to people for years, and we can't bring the perspective that the youth can. We don't have access to their peers like they do. They can rally together, and they can make some serious change that we haven't been able to do on our own. So I think that that's one of the most important things that the YAC brings. And then, obviously, the parts of the impact it has on these young people themselves. They're getting paid, their time's getting honored. As Lily said, we do a great retreat at the beginning of the year where we do an in-depth analysis and look at oppression and anti-oppression. So I think that it's overall, as I said, the number one thing that I love about my job.
Well, that's great. So for people who were wondering what we were talking about when we said there are things going on that are really powerful and empowering and having great effects, this is a wonderful example of that.
It is indeed. And we now have to ask you this awful question because there's no way to do this. But in about a minute each, could you just share with us a thought you have, one thing that you really would like our listening audience to come away with? The most important thing you think about Oasis YAC, Lily, your involvement in it, and what it means for youth?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, like you were saying, and like Taylor was saying, that it's not just that youth are our future, but they are our present, and no matter what an adult can do, and no matter how many times OASIS and adults can knock on the school's doors and say that this isn't working. A student can walk through the doors and tell people, tell their students, tell their principal, tell their teachers, you know, make their own change and hope for the best that it makes its own way around everywhere else. And it's not just, you know, youth trying to, you know, make a change small in a small area. It's everyone. If you can get one person involved, they can get the entire school involved, and that's all it takes.
Cool.
That's all it takes.
That's great.
Just get the whole school involved.
I love it.
I love it too.
And I guess it's hard to follow that.
Yeah.
I think the question we get a lot of time is, why is Boulder County Public Health have this program and a similar program, Rainbow Elders? And I think that's ultimately that LGBTQIA plus identities, people, are not a political issue. Our existence is not political. It's a public health issue. As a result of the world that we live in, not inherent to who we are. And that's why we really strongly stand behind this work and this program, is that all young people, especially those with marginalized identity, deserve to have equitable access to education, and that involves their social experiences as well. And I think that's a question we get a lot, so I always like to make sure to share that. But ultimately, as Lily said, the power is within us. We have the strengths to make these change.
That's great. We're out of time for this evening. We want to thank our guests, Lily Stevens and Taylor Stein, for spending this time with us and for the work they're doing with the queer community. And we want to thank you, our listening audience, for joining us for this episode of Outsources. And we'd like to invite you to stay tuned for announcements about a few events that you will want to know about.
You have just a few days until January 12th, just a few days, to shop for health insurance on the state's marketplace, Connect for Health Colorado. Despite the best efforts of the Trump administration and Congress, LGBTQ Coloradans are protected from discrimination in healthcare and health insurance in Colorado. One Colorado has released the 2018 Transgender Health Insurers Buyer's Guide so that trans folks around the state can make informed decisions about which insurance companies provide them with the coverage that meets their needs. Learn more at onecolorado.org. OutBoulder will present a program examining gender, information around suicide in the trans community, and effective allyship and bystander strategies for personal and professional circumstances on Wednesday, January 10th. The presentation is free and open to the public and will be held at Boulder Public Library Reynolds Branch. More information at outboulder.org. Nominations are open for the 2018 Garden Party Awards, which will be held on Sunday, June 3rd. OutBoulder County gives three awards each year at this event: the Cleela Rorix Allies in Action Award, the Jack and Jean Hodges Big Hearts Award that goes to an LGBTQ activist, and the Ignite and Inspire Youth Leadership Award. The awards will be presented at the Garden Party, and information about nominations is now available at outboulder.org. Also, the MLK Day events in Lafayette will include family activities, a march, and an art project. For information, visit cityoflafayette.com. Thanks again for joining us on Outsources. If you have comments or questions about this evening's program or any other program, please feel free to email us at outsources@kgnu.org. And please join us again next Monday at 6:30 on KGNU, Denver, Boulder, Fort Collins, for another edition of Outsources, or listen anytime at kgnu.org/outsources. You can also listen to past programs on our blog at news.kgnu.org/outsources. Thanks again for joining us. Hope to see you next week.
primary sources, where do we go for them? Tuesday's edition of Hemispheres features fact finders and fact-finding enablers. Sarah Jansen, senior editor at the World Almanac and Book of Facts, Rick Martinez at the National Archive at Denver, and Nicholas Harrell, outreach librarian at the University of Colorado's William A. Wise Law Library. Tuesday at 6 on Hemispheres.
It's about half a minute past 7 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. And it is time for the Opera Box. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Opera Box. I'm Ron Nadell, and I'm your host tonight. With 2017 behind us, a new year ahead of us, and the current events around us, I thought we could use some inspiration. Tonight, my playlist features operatic heroes and heroines, inspiring characters who transcend unimaginable challenges, accompanied by great music, such as the faithful baby doe who stands by her man no matter what. And with the music of Puccini, Wagner, Mozart, Beethoven, screw your courage to the sticking place and join me in tonight's Opera Box.
His kiss is